Welcome to the Missionary Profile Podcast, where we delve into the amazing stories of real-world missionaries dedicated to spreading the message of Christ's love and fulfilling the Great Commission. In each episode, we'll explore the lives of missionaries who were leading people to the Lord, training local pastors, and making a lasting impact on communities worldwide. Join Paul now as he introduces the next guest on this episode of the Missionary Profile Podcast.
Welcome to the Missionary Profile Podcast. This is your host, Paul Douglas. I'm joined here with Brandon Hazelshort. He has introduced his wife, Allie. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share this with one of your friends.
And then we have three children. Jeffrey just now turned 10. Hannah's 8, and Esther just turned 7 this last month. And so we've been missionaries here in Kenya, East Africa, for almost 2 years. This January we'll be hitting our second year mark. We're sent out Faith Baptist Church in Chelsea, Michigan, and we're part of what's known as Team East Africa. We're sent out of the mission agency, Fundamental Baptist Missions International. And so there's two other missionaries that we work with from time to time. And I'll go more into detail as we go further in the podcast. But for our family, we're in a little area known as Kintengela, which is about an hour and a half outside of Nairobi.
What inspired you to go to the mission field? I know that in your past, one of our brothers in Christ asked you to go to church over and over again, and you finally got into church and got saved. But what were the specific events that called you to go on the mission field?
Yes, sir. So kind of a couple of things. I think for me, it was reading different missionary autobiographies, and biographies really began to work on my heart for the burden of missions and just wanting to reach the lost and to see other missionaries reach the lost all around the world. But then I'd say the biggest thing that really did it for me is just serving in our local church. I was working a full-time job as an x-ray tech in a trauma 2 OR. Was about almost at my 10-year mark doing that. And it just seemed like the more and more we served in our church, the more and more it wasn't enough. We just wanted to do more and get involved what we could. And I just remember one time I was talking to our assistant pastor and said, I just feel like no matter how much I do, it's not enough. And he just looked at me and said, well, it's not. And I said, thanks for the words of encouragement. But the more we got involved, the more God just kept leading us to that, I truly believe. And then it just, over time, it just, the Lord broke my heart to pray about surrendering full time. And so I had no idea what God wanted us to do, where he wanted us to go. But I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm yours, but you have to tell me. And so I began praying and fasting about it on and off for about 6 months. And the Lord laid on our heart Africa. It was another country at the time. But long story short, the doors were closed there. And through a series of events of saying, Lord, where do you want us to go? He led us to Kenya, East Africa.
Amen. Amen. Well, I do have a few questions for you. And one of them is just, can you share a moment where you truly felt you were advancing in God's kingdom in Africa? I know you've been there for, you know, several years. At what point was it when you were like, wow, we are really making a difference?
Yeah, so I would say there's two events that come to my mind. One of them was when we started our Bible study here in the Kintengela area. I would still call it Bible study, but we call it a church now. It's still out of our house property at the moment. But when we were first starting, the Lord brought another man along our path. His name's Daniel, and he got saved. We were able to sit down and lead him to the Lord, and then he immediately started discipleship. And the fourth lesson in our discipleship material that we use is on soul winning. And the next week he came back and he said, Pastor, I would like to take you out and meet a couple people if that's okay. And I said, yeah, let's do it. And so I was thinking we're going to go to one or two houses for a couple hours, and it turned out to be from like 8 a.m. to about 8 p.m. We went from home to home to home because Daniel wow. wanted me to sit down and to share the gospel with every person. So we did that for several months. Every Saturday we would go out from about 8 a.m. to 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. And the way we go through the gospel here, because we have to be so thorough on the work side of things, it takes me about an hour and a half on average to sit down with somebody. So in a 12-hour day, we get maybe five or six houses in. But it was just incredible to see what God was doing in each person's life. And through that, we have this core group. We have a small group, but we have a core group of believers that are just every week's another exciting week to see their growth week by week. So to me, that was one. And then the second one is our team leader, Brother Peter Morris. He has a burden for helping the national pastors, trying to strengthen them, get them doctrine sound. And so this April, we'll be graduating our first class. We're down to about 12 pastors, but I believe we're down to our core group. And it's been exciting to see their growth over the last 18 months. And just if you would have asked me 18 months ago, do you have confidence in these guys? I would have been like, no. But now I have such a love and a desire to see their ministries grow as well because of the growth we've seen. And we're getting ready to help three of them in March with a medical group coming in. But even hearing their testimonies of them going out sowing and helping each other every week and seeing people saved, it's just exciting to see the advancement in that as well.
That's awesome. That leads me to my second question, which is pretty recent. I believe you were going to Turkey, or you went to Turkey. And so can you tell us a little bit about that and the projects that you're working on?
Yes, sir. So in September, we had what's known as Mastermind. My team leader was invited, and I was able to tag along. But it was missionaries from FBMI from all around the world. We had missionaries from Peru, the Philippines, Thailand, Ghana, Turkey there as well. And it was just a time for us to all get together. And I was the young guy in the room, but it was just so exciting to be able to see these guys, learn from the ministry, and just soak up everything I can. And so they do that every other year. They're talking about in a couple years having it in another country and making it to where our families can go to. And I'm looking for that because one, it's just a great time of fellowship because you can feel very isolated on the field. But then two, what I love is I try to soak up and learn anything I can because if it works, why not try it? If it doesn't work here, hey, we tried it. But if it works, you're learning something new to just add to reach more souls for the cause of Christ. So I'm excited about that.
That's awesome. It's always a joy to read your prayer letters because they're so detailed, and anybody that is supporting you probably appreciates that too, because prayer letters are meant to help us connect to you, to pray for you, to know your burdens, and so I appreciate you sharing all those things with us. All right, so you talked about Daniel being transformed through the ministry. What is Daniel doing now to help grow the ministry and help you as the pastor of your church there?
Yes, sir. So unfortunately, through a series of events, we had some very hard pushback here. At one point, we had someone contaminate our water source to our house. We had people throwing nails, trying to discourage us. But I told Daniel, I said, listen, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. And over time, people, I think, will come around. And so we kind of lost Daniel there for a little while. And I think it's because he lost so many people that he was very well known in the community. He's lost a lot of friends, but he's come back around. And so I just keep trying to keep showing him love and just be gentle with him. And I think he's starting to come around. And so right now we have him really as our song leader in our church. And it's an encouragement because if anybody's seen me try to do it, I'm not the one to lead in song. So he does a much better job than I can. And so it's just trying to, with each person, figure out what their strong points are, get them plugged in so they feel important, they feel like they're needed, and they have a reason to be there to serve.
Right. Amen. Amen. That's great. Yeah. The things that have happened, in the mission field, another missionary in Brazil I'm thinking of, you know who he is. They had their water tower repaired, and they ran out of work to do on their property. And so the person that was working on their water tower went at nighttime and damaged it so that he could have more work the next day. So, well, anyway, let's talk about some challenges. So I'm sure that you've had more challenges than just, it's a pretty big deal having your water contaminated and those kind of things. But what are the challenges that you're facing outside of the actual, you know, local, like, quote unquote, terror that you're experiencing there?
Yeah, so I'd say if I had narrowed down to a couple, one would be the language. So if I had a ministry in Nairobi or around Nairobi, I could get away with English more. Where we're at, most of my people know their tribal language that they grew up on, and then they know Swahili. Now, there are some I can have, they're really well in English and we can converse, but I'd say about half of my group that we have right now only know their tribal language in Swahili. So it's really pushed me to want to learn Swahili more. And we did go through about 6 months of, or actually 8 months of Swahili training. And so that has helped. And so, but it's definitely a hurdle because I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting there. So I'm to the point where if I translate my material ahead of time, I preach and teach in it every Sunday. Probably about half of it, I don't know what I'm saying unless I look to my English notes as well. But you wouldn't know if you heard me, praise the Lord. But so it's just baby steps. But once I can get to that point, then it opens the door to so many more people to be able to witness to them, to go through the gospel with them. And then the second challenge, if you talk to any missionary here in Kenya, I think they would say it's the traffic. It is so crazy. There's a medical missionary team that's coming in March to join us. And they've traveled all around the world. And the wife said, I would drive anywhere else in the world but Nairobi. And so it's one of those things I've had to learn to time the traffic just right if I'm going in or out of the city, just to save from the headache. But it's just one of those culture shock things when you're used to law and order, and there's laws here, but there's no order. Everybody does what they want. But yeah, you ask the Lord for help and you try to do the best you can through it.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know that it can be tough to be out there. I mean, you have your family there, but it can be tough to be out there trying to sustain your own faith. And you know, you got the Bible, and you can do all that studying. But what are you doing? I know that you've written some books. You've got some books published. What are you doing in the field to sustain your own faith and to sustain the faith of your family?
Yeah. So I've talked to our home pastor, this Pastor Summers, many times. But it is a challenge. Many times as a missionary, you can get so caught up and so busy teaching and feeding everybody else that you forget to feed yourself. You just put yourself on the back burner. I'm not ever going to be that person that says, hey, I'm perfect. I never miss my devotions. It's a struggle. It's real life. And so I do go through ups and downs, but it's definitely important to try to make those times to have that quiet time for yourself, to make sure you get fed, to start your day off right, make time with the Lord. But also many times when you are teaching, as we've just talked about this as a team here, that many times when you are teaching and you're going through lessons with people, you also are learning so much through that. And so that's been a blessing. And then for me, a lot of people have Bible like plans and schedules. That's just never worked for me. Once I get stuck on a certain subject or a topic or something like that, I just dive into it and exhaust it. And that's kind of where the books have come about. When I first got here, my eyes became so much more open to the doctrinal issues that we have here. And so I just got burdened for, man, these are certain issues that we struggle with here. And so I just dove into it and tried to exhaust it. And through that decided, hey, I'm going to write this in a material to try to get good material out there and hopefully see people come to Christ through that. And so that's what we're trying to do through the books. And then for my family, I think what's helped us recently is I've taken over the Bible time with the kids at school. And so I sit down, again, we're not perfect, but I try to, Tuesday through Friday, I teach the kids for 30 minutes in Bible in the morning. And then we do about 20 minutes of Swahili together before they go on with their school day with mommy. And I go out and do ministry work either in town or in my office.
Amen. Amen. So, what is the, where can people get these books, and what are the names of the titles of the books? There's a series, right?
Yes, sir. So the first book I wrote, as we traveled Deputation, the more things we got to see with the kids, we went to a lot of national parks with the kids, cause it's like $100 for the park, the yearly park pass, and you get into all the parks. And so through that, just different things we would learn or see, the Lord laid on my heart to kind of give a spiritual application to that. So the first book I wrote was Deputation Devotions. And I think it's about 50 some devotions that you can just read through. And it gives you kind of a glimpse of our experiences on Deputation, but hopefully an encouragement to you as well, just a one or two page devotional. And then again, when we got here to the field, we were here maybe a month, and I sat and watched when we went up to the western part of Kenya, and I watched our team leader for 3 days debate with these national pastors on eternal security. And at the end of 3 days, only two of them, when he said, okay, who here thinks you can still lose your salvation? Only two of them said, no, you can't lose your salvation. And it immediately became clear to me, we have a real issue here in Kenya, East Africa. And that is, we're almost laughed at because we're the only ones that teach eternal security. And so it made me dive deeper into it. And one thing I would almost challenge a lot of Christians is, don't just believe something because your pastor's told you, or because you've, and I'm saying, don't listen to your pastor, obviously listen to your pastor, but you need to get into the Word of God yourself and dive in and come to your own conclusion. No, this is the reason why I stand where I stand, because this is what the Word of God says. And that really encouraged me. And so the first book we wrote was Eternal Security. So I think it's like 13 examples of how we're eternal secure. I wrote one on tongues, because that's a huge issue here with the Pentecostals, what biblical tongues are. I wrote one on beards just for fun. And I won't go into all that, but that one was just for fun. We did one, it's called Black Magic, but it just talks about how sorcery, enchantments, magicians, what the Bible says about all of that. We wrote one that's called Sexual Subjects of the Scriptures, and it covers a bunch of topics as far as what the Bible says about fornication, polygamy, concubinism, all kinds of topics in there. Oh man, you put me on the spot. I'm trying to think what all of them are. We have 11, no, we have 10 total now. The last one we just wrote is Baptisms of the Bible, trying to look into that and explain how there's different baptism in the Bible, which one applies to the Christian today. And so just several topics to hopefully help people here. And at the end of each book, we have the plan of salvation written out. We have a way to contact us through email. And so our goal here in Kenya is it good material? You walk into most Christian bookstores in Nairobi, and it's Joel Osteen and Joyce Myers, and just a bunch of heretics. And so we want to get good material out there. So my goal is, one, if they are saved, to get them doctrinally sound. But then two, if they're not saved, to get their eye through the Holy Spirit and through the power of God's word, to have their eyes open to the truth of God's word. And then that plan of salvation is right there at the end. And our prayer is that God would draw many people unto him through that. And then we also, it's not hard to publish it right to Amazon. It takes me maybe 10 minutes once I have all the material done here in Kenya to publish it to Amazon. And so our goal with that is to also help people back in the States. And all the money that comes in from that just goes right back into our ministry here to help out with any expenses we have here.
Okay. And the purpose of this podcast is not to plug your books, but when I found out about them, I was just amazed that you had the time and the gumption to do all of that on the mission field. And it just encouraged me to think that there's not a whole lot of time in life to write books. But you can make the time for it. And even when you're on the mission field, and I know you're a busy person on the mission field, I read about it. But it's encouraging to me that there's an opportunity where the book's written to specifically target the folks there in that region, or are they, can they be useful? I'm sure they can be useful to everyone, but were they specifically targeted for that region?
Yeah. So my main goal, my main burden was to get material here in Kenya to help them. So when I originally wrote it, it was more like discipleship material. But then once I started seeing there's more and more Christian bookstores popping up all over Nairobi. And so I was like, man, I'll just write it in a book. So that way anybody can sit down and read through it, study through it on their own. And then again, there's the information in the back for them to reach out to us and to contact us. And so we're still working on that part, but my main goal is trying to do anything we can to get good material out there to reach Kenyans with the gospel. There's just so much heresy and so much false doctrine thrown around here. So it's trying to get the right material and get the truth of God's word out there. And so I just thought this is another way or another tool to get the gospel out there. But then again, we put it on Amazon afterwards because I think it would be beneficial to any Christian. My intent was to, again, try to exhaust it as much as you can. It's not just, hey, let's pick a couple verses, but let's look at everywhere it's at in Scripture and come to a final conclusion based on all the Scripture we have on this topic or this issue. And so I think it would help many Christians to dive deeper into their own study and come to their own conclusion according to the Word of God.
Amen. That's a great point, because a lot of folks just, that's all they count on is their pastor, and that's not biblical. You need to get into the Word of God yourself and study the Word of God. What advice?
Amen.
What advice do you have for others who feel called to be part of advancing God's kingdom through missionary work?
Yeah, so for me, kind of my own testimony, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Praise the Lord, my mom and dad are saved now, and they're doing amazing now, especially my mom spending some time with us on the mission field. She's like our biggest, if there was a missionary advocate, she's it. She's always Amen. Fighting for us there and rooting for us. But growing up, I didn't have that foundation. And like you were saying earlier, I had a good friend from high school that kept inviting me. I eventually got saved. But looking back, the encouragement that I would give some Christians, especially young people, is I never felt like I fit in. I was kind of the oddball. I didn't have the Christian foundation. I just always struggled with it. But then I had to realize I don't have to be like everybody else. I don't have to be this perfect Christian, because none of us, let's be real, none of us are perfect. But we obviously want to live holy and righteous as we can for the Lord, to bring honor and glory to Him. But I had to realize I just have to do what I can for the Lord and use my gifts that God's given me for His glory. And once I realized that and started serving the Lord, the more I just wanted to serve and to do more for God. And so I would just encourage people, don't compare yourself to everybody else, because you'll always get discouraged. But then two, just get busy for God. He doesn't call someone that's perfectly qualified. He just calls those Amen. That are faithful and are serving Him. And so if you're serving the Lord and you're being busy for Him in your home church, then you never know what He might call you on to do. But if you're not doing anything for God in your home church, then He's not going to call you to go somewhere else. So just get busy for God. And again, you just make yourself available. You never know what He might do in your life. If you would have told me 20 years ago that I'd be a missionary in East Africa, I say this all the time, I would have said you're crazy. But when you give your life to God, there's no telling what you do.
Amen. That's a good point. A good point to end on. But I do want you to go ahead and share with us, if you'd like, your email. So if anybody watching this podcast wants to reach out to you and get your books, and where, of course, you can get the books on Amazon. But if there's another place that you can get the books, please share that with us. And thank you very much for the interview. I really appreciate you launching my podcast.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Paul, for thinking of us and letting us be a part of it. It's definitely a blessing. For those that do, if you want to reach out, I'm sure Brother Paul can put the spelling on there for you. But the best way would be brandon.hazelsworth@fbmi.org. That'd be the best email to reach me through. Our books are, we called it Let God Be True Discipleship Series. If you type that in, you should be able to find it on Amazon. We hope that it'd be a blessing to you. And then if it's okay, I would like to just end with some things to pray about that we have coming up. We have some big events coming up. That'd be okay, Brother Paul. We have, in January, we have a back-to-school friend day. We praise the Lord. We had enough money come in for that. But pray as we'll have hopefully around 100 kids coming in for that. Every kid that comes in is going to get a backpack, school supplies, brand new school shoes and socks for school. And some of these kids don't even have shoes, or their shoes are all torn up. And that's great to help them. But the thing that we're most excited about is these are going to be kids that have never come. Some of them will be our church kids, but the great majority won't be. And so we're having an opportunity to get the gospel out to them for the first time. And so pray for that. That should be January, I believe, 7th. And then the biggest thing we got coming up, there's a medical missionary team I travel with in Ghana and here in Kenya before. It's Truth for Today Medical Missions. It's Dr. and Linda, or Greg and Linda Waller. And they've actually asked to have me be the hosting pastor in March. And so every time I thought, okay, this isn't going to work, God had other plans. And so they just finished their survey trip with us this last week. And so March 15th through the 25th, Lord willing, they'll be bringing their medical team here. We'll have our national pastors doing the sowing side. And we're going to be in three different areas in Western Kenya, helping these churches out and to hopefully see hundreds of souls come to Christ. And the thing I love most about this ministry is it's not, hey, let's just sit 20, 30 people in a room and one, two, three, pray after me. Every person that comes through will one-on-one sit down with a soul winner and go through the gospel. And so I'm so excited. I've been stressed trying to do it because it's a huge ministry, but I'm so looking forward to what the Lord is going to do through each one of these pastors and their ministries. And so I'm very excited for that. So please pray for that, as that will be March 15th through the 25th.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you again. And I'm going to cut you loose here, and we'll be in touch. And I appreciate all that you're doing out there on the mission field. And Lord bless you all, and say hello to the family for us. Appreciate you.
I will. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Missionary Profile Podcast. We appreciate you staying with us until the end and hope you found inspiration in the incredible stories we shared today. Your support means the world to us as we continue to shine a light on the remarkable work of missionaries around the globe. Stay tuned for more inspiring episodes, and visit us online at missionaryprofile.org. Until next time, keep connecting with your supported missionaries, and may the Lord guide and direct your journeys.